My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
9FM ESPN, and we're opening up the college football season and all the guests that come with it. And you know who joins every single Monday? That would be Harold Grader, Associate Executive Director of the AutoZone Liberty Bowl on X at Harold Grader. Harold, how's it going?
We're starting it up. Great to be with you. I am ready to go. Let me ask you. Now, for teams that are playing Saturday, it's week zero.
Yes. I always hate that.
But for me and you on this segment that will continue through the national championship game, now, is this week zero?
However you want to term it, let's decide this right now.
I'm a simple man, Gabe. I say it's the first one, so it's week one.
I don't know. Honestly, I'd rather do week 1A and 1B than week zero, the way we term it.
I will defer to you. 1A? This is your show, after all.
Yeah.
Okay. Week 1A. Let's go.
It's so strange that we do the week zero thing. Who cares? No one's losing sleep. Over if we term this week one an actual week one, week two.
Exactly.
Who cares? But we do have some games this week.
Yeah, we do.
I don't know if you're all that enthused about Montana State on the road against New Mexico, although Montana State, as an FCS team, probably favored in that game. SMU at Nevada. I like SMU in that game.
Yep.
I'll talk about my bets later in the week. But the one we're paying attention to, the one over in Aviva in Ireland, how about Florida State and Georgia Tech? I know that Florida State came in this year as an AP top 10 team at number 10. But this game, it might be a little trickier than that.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, Tech is a team that you can't look past in any estimation, and if you're an FSU fan or someone who wagers on these types of games, it's not a slam dunk for Florida State. And again, obviously both teams are traveling, you have that dynamic, so it's the same challenge for both football teams. But, for a team like Florida State that comes in, again, with such high expectations, but a chip on the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still hacked over what happened last year at the end of the year. And I think Mike Norvell and that football team, they come out, and if it's in the bag of tricks, if it's in the playbook, they are not going to let off the gas.
Right.
And I say all that to say it won't be I don't expect it to be an easy game. I do expect them to win, and I just think they're going to be out there to send a message.
Yep.
Hey, we took it in the shorts last year. We didn't appreciate it. Didn't think we deserved it. Now let's go on a new year, and we're just going to show you.
Yeah. Now, DJ Uiagalelei takes over at quarterback there. Mike Norvell does a good job on the recruiting trail. I understand that. But all said and done, this team getting an AP top 10 billing. I saw Paul Feinbaum, our good friend, basically say, you know, I wonder if they get sidetracked by crying all those tears last year. I mean, he's taking a little side. Obviously, he's taking some slick shots at him. But what... All said and done, what do you think of that Florida State team heading into this year? They lost a lot. They really did. You can't ignore it.
They lost a lot. I don't think they plugged all of those holes, but when you have Mike Norvell there, I mean, I don't want to oversell Mike, even though, I mean, he's a friend.
Right. We understand what he's like, how good he is as a coach.
And I think he is so good that they can overcome some of, I don't want to say holes, but some of the places that they didn't fully restock the cabinet, so to speak.
Yeah.
But I think he's got that program rolling, and I think it'll be another exceptional year for Florida State.
Yeah, and I'll say this, being in the ACC helps a little bit.
Yeah.
Right? Right? A little bit different type of schedule. Although the ACC could be sneaky, I am very curious who actually rises to the top in that conference. I think there's three teams, Florida State, Clemson,
and Miami is
the tricky one. ACC is going to be a really fun conference to watch this year, even though they have all that ongoing litigation and all the stuff off the field. We tend to forget about that as we start to see football played.
And Gabe, the kids, the players don't pay attention.
Right,
to that stuff.
Of course.
They don't have a clue.
Yeah.
I don't think that any of that stuff's going on.
They can't control it.
They don't care. They want to play. They want their NIL money and live a good life and go play ball. So I don't think any of that off-the-field stuff that the adults, quote-unquote, are dealing with affects the football team or the football game. And, again, I think they're in the mix. You mentioned those three teams. A year ago, I thought it was more of Florida State and everybody else in that league. But now I think it really is a three-team race. And it'll be interesting to see what happens in the ACC. But I do think still, until proven differently, Florida State's the team to beat in the ACC.
And then NC State with Grayson McCall, maybe a little bit of sleeper. And then I was very interested to see SMU after paying to join that conference for the most part. That's sort of what they did. They didn't come in dead last. They were right there, top half, seventh, I think. SMU should be an interesting team to watch in the ACC in year one. Now, the reason I bring up Florida State and the ACC in general, Tigers play them week three.
They do.
Do you think that'll be a close game? How do we think that game will play out? You got number one in the ACC preseason poll, number one in the AAC preseason poll, squaring off against each other. I know it's going to be on the road for the Tigers, so that really throws a loop into their plans. It's really tough to play on the road at Florida State. How do we feel about that game right now?
Well, I'm looking forward to being there. I've never been to a game at Florida State, so
nice.
I'm looking forward to just the environment and everything that is Tallahassee on game day. It's an early game.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken. I think it's 11 Central. So I'm always concerned about early games.
Get up and get moving.
My team, quote unquote, in this case the Tigers, will perform early. Real opportunity here, obviously, for the Memphis Tigers and for Ryan Silverfield. I if it were to get out of hand, and I don't think it will, I don't think Norvell's would in any way want to embarrass this program, if it should go to that. But I don't think it will.
Right.
I'm expecting competitive. I look back over the history of Tiger football, going into games like this. The one that comes to mind first for me off the top of my head is when the Tigers went out to the West Coast, played USC. Early in the year, you know, beat USC. I can remember way back the Tigers going on the road and beating Auburn way back in the day. I mean, the Tigers have been known throughout the history of this program to be able to rise up and knock off the big guy in road games. Will that be the case here? Don't know. I'm just saying it could be.
Yep.
And don't... throw it in already and just say, well, okay, it's Florida State. We know what Norvell's got. It's on the road. You never know.
Right.
You never know. And on the other side of that, I think one of the challenges for Mike will be convincing his team, hey, we got to show up and play.
Right. That's always the problem.
You know, this is a huge game. He's going to say to his team, this is a huge game for Memphis. Their biggest non-conference game, maybe the biggest game of the year for
good.
Them.
They're
and,
good.
And they're good. And they're right. good. You know, the Tigers are coming off a win over a Big 12 team in the AutoZone Liberty Bowl.
Yes.
At the end of last season. So, you know, Florida State is going to have to be focused and ready for the Tigers. So, I'm hoping for competitive. I'm hoping it can get to be a fourth quarter game. And then we see what happens. I hope that's how it plays out.
It is wild, though, just looking at this Tiger program. And obviously you have the stadium renovations and the whole home side of the stands just about down now. Watching the entire press box come down was absolutely nuts. We'll talk about that at the tail end of this conversation. But just sort of looking at these expectations, I really want to see how this team handles that. That's my biggest question. Like, everybody's talking about defense. Everybody wants to see, okay, is Seth Hennigan going to have his best year in a Tiger uniform? What's Rock Taylor going to look like? You have all these questions. O-line, are they going to all come together and mesh?
Right.
Everybody has all these questions about on the field and what that's going to look like. But I've seen how this works in a locker room sometimes. When you have expectations, you can let them get to you. You know, you ignore those things, ignore the noise, move forward, and win a bunch of games. I want to see how this team handles that. Because under Ryan, to this point, they have not had this level of expectation.
No,
this is uncharted territory.
No, I agree with that, Gabe. And again, that is where leadership, it starts for me anyway, when I assess situations like this, starts at the top, starts with the head coach, and managing those expectations within the locker room. Then it filters down to your player leaders.
Yeah.
And for the Tigers, that's Seth. There are others, but it starts with Seth and the tone that he sets with his teammates of staying focused. You can't get ahead of your skis by any stretch of the imagination. I don't care who the Tigers are.
Right now, it's North Alabama. That's who you're focused
on.
That
is absolutely right.
Then you get past that.
Because if you screw up one of those, you're done.
Yeah.
You're done.
Yeah. Throw away whatever you wanted to accomplish.
That's right. So you literally have to take it practice to practice, snap to snap, game to game. And I know that sounds trite and it's coach talk, but you have to approach it that way. You can take nothing for granted because, let's face it, just like we're talking about the Tigers in comparison to Florida State, obviously being a huge game for the Tigers are going to be a big game for, especially these teams are going to play early on. Hey, we're rolling into Memphis and
you're
we're playing
everybody's
the Tigers,
best
and the Tigers are getting all this publicity and the expectations that they could be a playoff team. Hey, let's go in there and make a name for ourselves.
Yep.
So the Tigers are going to have to be ready each and every week because everybody's going to bring their A game.
You know, Connor always says this, but like, you know, what you said about like snap to snap, game to game, it can come off as like old and cliche, but the reason cliches are cliches is because most of the time they're true.
Yeah.
Right? That's what this team's going to have to do this year. Now, also, speaking of some local teams, I want to get to Ole Miss and Tennessee. Let's start with Ole Miss, number 6 in the AP preseason poll. First time they've been that high. That is their highest ranking in the AP preseason poll since Archie Manning was on campus.
That was a year or two ago.
Yeah, it was. It was. You know, I remember it like it was yesterday. But they have, you know, some really big SEC bodies on the defensive side to go with all the offense they have returning. Jackson Dart, no Quinshon Judkins, but you have Ulysses Bentley. I still think you have a good running back room. A wide receivers, Trey Harris. You add Juice Wells. You have a bunch of guys. This team. I know number 6 is a hard billing to live up to, but I really think they can do it this year.
I do, too. That certainly is the expectation. And I can tell you just a couple of quick stories here. I was at double-decker weekend in Oxford. That's back in April. And running into folks, and it was right around spring ball. And every fan I talked to, 12-0.
All right. 11-1,
10-2 at worst. make the playoff. That's the expectation.
Yep.
And is it an unreasonable expectation? I would say making the playoff is not an unreasonable expectation. And, of course, that was coming at a time, if you'll recall, Gay, you know, during spring ball, you know, Lane was saying things like, this is the most talented roster, the best roster I've had.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they've added some, they lost some, as you made mention, brought in some good pieces, maintained some key pieces on that team. So, Lane, again, was saying, best roster I've had. When he spoke at Media Days in Dallas, which was about a month ago now, he tweaked that just a little bit, saying, yeah, we kept some great pieces. We brought in some nice pieces. Now we got to bring it together.
Yeah.
That's the trick. And that's where coaching comes into play. And I think as a coach, Lane has matured during his time at Ole Miss. I think he's a better coach now than he was 3, 4, 5 years ago. So the key is going to be bringing them together on the common mission, which is win, make the playoff. I think that is an absolute reasonable expectation, and I expect them to be there.
Yeah, now 12-0. You have Georgia on the schedule. You have on the road against
12-0. I don't think 12-0.
On the road against LSU.
I do think they're a playoff team.
Yeah, I do think that. I really do think that, because I think you could get certainly 3, maybe 4 out of the SEC when it's all said and done. We're just gonna have to watch it. I think there's gonna be a little bit more, cannibalism though in the SEC than we've had in normal years. I don't think Georgia's untouchable. I know it seems like that on the surface, but I don't think a team like that is untouchable.
Yeah, I don't think anybody goes 12-0. And just one side note to the Ole Miss playoff situation, I can tell you that there's 1, maybe 2 hotels here in the city that are holding rooms on behalf of the CFP for a potential playoff first round playoff game at Oxford.
Okay. All right. I like to hear that. There we go.
So we'll see.
We'll see. We shall see then. Nice.
That's
good insider information right there from Harold Grady.
Which would mean that, again, it's all just projecting, and everybody, you know, you got to get ready for any scenario. And the guys that put on the CFP are the best at what they do. But, you know, remember, first four teams get buys, 5, 6, 7, and 8 host on campus.
Right.
So if Ole Miss is 5, 6, 7, or 8, they're hosting a home playoff game in Oxford.
Do you think those reservations are at least trying to put some of those rooms to the side? How many different schools do you think they're doing that with around the country? Probably a fair amount.
Oh, absolutely. You have to.
Yeah.
You have to. Because that's one of the, not to get too off of that tangent as far as the CFP, but that's one of the potential challenges, depending on who those host teams are. If they're from small town, college town, and you don't have 4, 5, 6 major hotels, you know, because it starts with one. You got to have enough accommodations to house a football team.
Sure.
And then the fans that will come in. So you got to look at the surrounding area. And, luckily, we're, hour and a half tops from Oxford. So if there is a first-round playoff game at Oxford, our city and our community will benefit from that.
Yes, I think so.
So how about that?
I think so. Well, that's interesting to hear. That's interesting to hear. Talking with Harold Grader at Harold Grader on Associate Executive Director of the AutoZone Liberty Bowl. Tennessee, let's talk about Tennessee now. Get to some more listener. We have a lot of listenership from the, the follows Ole Miss, follows Memphis, and of course follows Tennessee. Nico Iamaleava takes over at quarterback. Defensively, I'm going to have my questions about it until I actually see it.
Everybody does.
There's no question. Yeah. Although I will say, I looked at the ESPN top 100. They did their top 100 players, and you know who's number one? James Pierce Jr. Their defensive end, and you have Omari Thomas from the city in there on that defensive line. Yeah. I think their defensive line is actually very good. But you're going to have questions about that defense until you actually see it on the field. And I still think people are going to have questions about Nico until you see him consistently on the field, especially once he gets into SEC play. I do think, though, that team, just looking at it on the surface, what Josh Heupel's been able to do, the amount of talent, 4-star, 5-star talent that is still littered on that roster, I still think that that team is a little bit undervalued heading into this year. Where are you at on the Vols?
Could be. You know, obviously, I guess looking back at the last 2 years, the 11-2 season, you know, they are jetting off into the stratosphere. Came back to earth a little bit last year, but still a 9-win season.
Sure.
Won the bowl game, whatever that's worth. But still, the level of excitement, the level of expectation, and rightfully so, with the Tennessee program, you know, from Danny White, the AD, to Josh, what they're doing, not just with the football team, but the entire athletic program up there, is amazing. Kudos to all of them. But again, Josh has set the expectation. And again, I think those are realistic expectations. Should be with the way they have recruited, continued to recruit. Like any football team, starts with the quarterback. They've got a really good one to go along with a really, really talented bunch of wide receivers. I think my favorite, just because of the name,
Squirrel.
Yeah.
Come on, Squirrel White.
Squirrel White.
And
absolutely.
He's also a burner. He's very fast.
But they have a great group of receivers, and with what Josh does and his offensive mind, it could be another really exciting year. But it's that defense. But your question was, are they undervalued? Maybe slightly. Again, coming off a 9-win season, are they a 10-win team? Maybe. I don't know about 11 or 12.
Right.
Again, I don't think anybody goes undefeated. But I could see Tennessee being a 10-win team and being a playoff team.
Yeah.
But it's going to be that defense again.
Right.
Defense has got to come to play.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest question mark for Tennessee going into the year.
I think what makes me a little bit more confident about them, listen, Joe Milton must be the best practice player in the history of football because he's doing it with the Patriots again, and they're in a full-on quarterback competition. They love him. And in New England, they loved him in Tennessee for a while. Of course, he started over Hendon Hooker, who ultimately took that job and ran with it. He was, you know, loved in Michigan before he wasn't. You know, I get that. But I think Nico immediately steps in, and I feel more confident in him than I felt in Joe Milton. And obviously you're going to have some runway with him to have him go ahead and grow. Now, one thing I do want to understand before we move on from Tennessee, how do we pronounce his last name? I'm a Liava, Iamaleava. Where are we at? I've heard it pronounced like 15 different ways, and no one has come in here to confirm.
I don't even try.
Okay, that's fair.
Not even going to try. Don't want to embarrass myself or the young
just
man
Nico.
For butchering his name.
Go by
he's Nico.
Because
when you say Nico,
everybody knows.
Everybody knows.
Yes.
It's like Cher or Beyonce.
Yes.
Or Pink. Everybody knows who you're talking about. So just say Nico.
He'll be the one name guy. Okay.
Why not?
It's like Seal. It's like all this stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We understand. Just say Nico. And then we can.
But for those who can't pronounce it correctly, and again, I'm not sure which.
Shout out to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Kudos to them.
Yes.
Big kudos.
Yeah, final thing I want to bring up here with Harold Grader, Associate Executive Director of the AutoZone Liberty Bowl. Stadium renovations seem to be coming along over at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. And obviously, the press box came down. And you've been used to being in that press box over the years. Listen, it was a little emotional for some folks. Not necessarily for me. I didn't spend a whole bunch of time in that press box. I spent a whole bunch of time down on that field. So I didn't really think about what was going on up there. But seeing that come down, one was pretty cool, but two, I do want to ask you a little bit of emotion seeing the way it's all being handled and sort of where we're at right this second.
Yeah, I haven't been over there since the day they kind of had the dog and pony show when they first started tearing it down. But for me, and people were asking me about my thoughts about the renovations and the demolition, and I said, when the press box comes down, that will be kind of the moment for me. And to see that video the other night, one, it was amazing.
It's pretty cool.
From how they did it, they pulled it backwards. It came out the back side of the stadium, which was impressive anyway. But I have memories, Gabe, going all the way back when I was a kid being in that press box, having grown up as, luckily, I was blessed to be best friends with Todd Eaton, and everybody knows his dad was the legendary Jack Eaton.
Yep.
We went to school together, church together, rode the school bus together growing up. And so that opened up opportunities and had life experiences that other folks didn't have that blessing. So so it goes back for me for years and years and years. And then, you know, when I guess the first time I was up there as a member of the media was my sophomore year at then Memphis State doing campus radio. It was WSMS back then, FM 92, doing Tiger football games. I think the radio booth they had for student radio was on the photo level.
Okay.
Then, which was the very top floor.
Right.
But anyway, so that goes back for me. Let's see, my freshman year was 80. So this was, we're talking about 81.
Yeah.
The 81 football season was the first time I was in that press box as a member of the media. And so, what's that, 40-something years ago now?
Yeah.
That's hard to believe. So anyway, spent a lot of time, covered a lot of games, a lot of events, a lot of life experiences up there. And when you think of the great broadcasters, the great sports writers who have done their work in that structure, it's amazing. And, you know, and the fact that, you know, I was a part of all of that, it was iconic. And for me, yeah, that brought it all home.
Yeah.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think there's an event over at the stadium this week, later in the week, that the university is hosting that I'll be attending. So, anyway, I haven't seen it. I've been, like many of us, have been following it on the
social media,
the live,
and everything, the live feed too.
But to see it in person later this week is going to be something. But looking forward to getting through all of this. You know, it impacts the 24 season, the 25 season, and it'll be ready for the 26 season. So a little pain between now and then, but what's on the backside,
yes,
is going to be awesome.
I'm glad everybody has that attitude about it for the most part,
too.
There's a little bit of emotion mixed in there, but
sure.
Everybody says, okay, let's look forward to the future.
Absolutely.
Because you look at some of these renderings, and it's hard not to love what you see.
Oh, absolutely.
I did like
it's exciting.
On the press box, last thing here.
Yeah.
I did get a kick out of the fact that there were a lot of people. There was one guy left over who he was setting something up. Maybe he was setting up the charges. I don't have no idea what he was doing up there in the press box the day it came down. But it was later in the afternoon. He ended up getting down. Then they took it down. That would have been bad if he was still up there. But somebody was saying it was Jeff Calkins up there trying to tab one more column before the press box was officially gone. Been here since 96. Made sense. Made sense. There's been a lot of great people that have blessed that press box over the years, though. So I can understand where people are a little bit emotional.
Sure.
Even though I don't think anybody was accusing the press box of being state-of-the-art by any stretch of the imagination at this point.
What area of improvement that is richly needed.
Yes, for sure. For sure. We're Harold, appreciate it. We're going to do this again next week and throughout the rest of the college football season. Appreciate
Looking
you joining.
Looking forward to it. And one quick note, Tuesday, tomorrow, first Touchdown Club meeting of the year. Cole Kubelik,
yes,
of the
sir.
SEC Network, the other offensive lineman on radio.
Yes, and he will be.
We'll be the guest speaker tomorrow
what?
Night.
And no, it's great.
Looking forward to that.
We'll bless the airwaves with him tomorrow too. How about that?
I'm not sure. Can the Memphis listening audience handle having two former big-time offensive lineman on the radio at the same time?
And I know what Cole say. Former, you mean, almost need to take the former out.
Is it like being
once an offensive lineman,
like
always an offensive lineman?
Once an offensive lineman, always. Yeah, you know what? You're absolutely right.
I remember
take that back.
I had
two
him on the air
lines.
At the old place when I was at SEC Media Days a couple years back, and that's what he said. I said, former offensive lineman from Auburn, Cole Kubelik. He said, former. Once an offensive lineman, always an offensive. I was like, okay, that's fair. That's fair, and I've lived by it ever since.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Hey, fantasy football owners, anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.